This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
Well, Elon has left the building.
Yep.
Biggest story in the country. Elon has left the building.
Which was scheduled.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? It's the way that he left that's getting a lot of attention and causing a lot of scrambling.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
On behalf of Republicans. Because he did this interview with CBS, and you were right. Yes, he was scheduled to leave, but he's leaving in total frustration with the losers we call the GOP leadership in Congress.
So, you know, I was like disappointed to see the massive spending bill, frankly, which increases the budget deficit, not just decrease it, and undermines the work that the Doge team is doing.
I actually thought that when this big, beautiful bill came along, I mean, like, everything he's done on Doge gets wiped out in the first year.
I think a bill can be big or it can be beautiful. But I don't know if it can be both. My personal opinion.
Yeah, that's the money quote right there. And he's right.
Yeah, and you know, overnight we're getting some idea of the cost here. And I talk about this every day mm-hmm. because I see it in my house. What, my own home, what is the cost of what Congress is doing? The in-style thing among MAGA Republicans, some talk show host, if you say what I'm about to say is to scream rhino at you and shut up, you hate Trump. But I want to tell you what the cost is because I talk about it every day. The American dream. They spent the American dream. They spent your children's dream. What dream am I talking about? The dream of middle-class homeownership. We finally have some numbers on that. And it is shocking. The median age, home buyer median age was 31 in 1981. In 2020, before the steal began, run equally by Republicans and Democrats in Congress, now we will say, because that's the case. In 2020, the median age was 37. Home buyers in America. What is it today? 56. It's 50.
You're kidding me.
I am not.
56 is the median age?
Yes. I've been trying to tell people how bad this is. And the reason people don't know how bad this is because everybody's got like a mortgage at 3%, 2%, whatever. And they're sitting still. They haven't tried to go out in the market and buy a house. They haven't seen what happens. Congress stole the dream of home ownership when they spent it. And they want you to shut up and let us spend some more. That's what the price is. I've been saying for a long time, it's not free when you spend this amount of money. What is the cost? Home ownership. My kids aren't going to own a home. I bought my first home and renovated when I was 23 years old. Flipped it. At one point, I owned four of them. That is impossible for my children. They will be lucky to own a home in their 30s. Congress did that. That's the price. This money printing ain't free. Now, just to give you some idea of how fast this is going up, in 2023, the median, average age of home buyers was 49. Today, it is 56. I will never forget going to Europe on a road trip with my cousins when I was 22. We went hiking, had an amazing time. And at the time I was working my first job, I was at a construction company. I went to an employment agency and they sent me down. I was a secretary in the trailer. And that's what I did all day. We built stuff. And a lot of I coordinated jobs. I coordinated contractors coming in and coming out. They check in with me, check out, all that stuff, right? First thing I noticed, there's no grading going on in Europe. There are no construction sites in Europe. None. That's crazy. There's no construction equipment in Europe. You don't see it. We drove from one end of the, you know, we went all over the place. There was none. What the heck? Everything was old. We stayed with members of our family because I have a very large family. We stayed with members of our families. We made our way across Europe as much as we could. And only one set of family members owned a home. It was old. By American standards, decrepit. It still had wallpaper from the 1980s. They couldn't afford to renovate it. But they had inherited it. That's why they had it. And I thought, my God, I returned to America. I wanted to fall down on the ground and kiss it. I did. We didn't understand how we lived. Well, the Republican Congress is doing that to you now. Joe Biden did that to you. The COVID spending did that to you. That's the price here. And this is what Elon Musk is fighting so hard against. And yet we have these MAGA influencers who, if you post this, will tear you to pieces. I gave you another example the other day on this show, driving around with my son in some, you know, more rural areas near where I live. All these neighborhoods that were started kind of as COVID broke and then stopped, and then they've resumed. They have gone from house for sale neighborhoods to rental neighborhoods. They're entirely rental. American dream's done. Of home ownership, anyway, it's over. What's next? We have one car instead of two. I mean, this is where we're going to go print it and steal your car. They steal through printing and devaluing your dollar and crushing your lifestyle. And that is what Elon Musk tried to fight. Now, the good news, and I want to talk about this because this is fantastic news. Absurd news, yes, but fantastic news on the other end. Doge is still notching victories. They're still notching victories. Number one victory, as Elon Musk blistered everybody involved here, and he didn't name names, he didn't have to. The Doge cuts trended again and again and again and again on X, despite the MAGA influencers trying to stop it. And it didn't stop. And this forced Mike Johnson to, our useless Speaker of the House, to actually have to acknowledge this. The hysterical part, Lee, the hilarious part, he tweets about everything the Republicans are doing to cut spending from vacation. He's on another vacation. He's the Speaker. He could say no vacation. Nah, Mike won't do that. Trump's agenda might roll forward because there's a lot of good stuff in the big, beautiful bill. Can't have that. Can't have immigration enforcement. No, no. But the good news is he's saying, oh, we'll do it. We'll do some Doge cuts. Yeah. No, we're gonna. So the pressure's good. We're getting somewhere there. The other really cool thing that just happened, and I can't tell you how big of a deal this is and how absurd this is. Lee, I've been saying we're going to find out that a lot of the theft of the American dream through the printing of money went to fund outright fraud. They literally stole it. Had a major court decision overnight, and there's so much news today, it's not getting a lot of attention. This is big. Doge won the right to access, get this, all of the Treasury payments. Wait. We weren't allowed, Trump administration was not allowed to see the payments? Uh-uh. No. Specifically, Lee, Scott Bessent, who, get this, runs the Treasury?
Yeah, the guy that writes, well, theoretically or metaphorically writes the checks.
Yeah. The guy who's responsible for the checks that go out and having them be legal and non-fraudulent and real and the people he's paying being real was not allowed to see the payments, all of them. Specifically, what he wasn't allowed to do was send Doge in. Okay, Doge, federal employees, they answer to Bessent and they answer to Trump. The Democrats, for some very curious reason, did not want Bessent to be able to do his job, to see those payments, to get into the back end of the system where the payments are made so we can see who are they going to. Why would you sue to stop that?
Because you've got something to hide.
Massive. something to hide. So $1.7 trillion in payments go out the door at the Treasury every year. We won yesterday. Judge finally capitulated. Democrats, unless they want to go ahead and appeal this to the Supreme Court, go ahead, do it. Show the country you don't want us to know who's getting paid because it's you. You're stealing the money. You know, and people keep saying, well, I'm sure Republicans are stealing it too. Wouldn't surprise me.
Well, I mean, I don't care. I don't care who's stealing
it. I don't either, but I'm sorry, Republicans aren't suing to stop this.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Democrats suing to stop this. They lost yesterday. We finally get to see all the payments. I can't wait. I can't wait. And the good news is, Bessent, you know, almost four weeks ago now, let it fly during a committee hearing. Hey, over a third of the payments appear to be improper. Improper is the word he used. He means fraud. Over a third? Wait, that's the deficit. Anyway, we wipe out two-thirds of it if that's the case. And you can tell what they're doing. They don't want to tell Congress the number because Mike the Knife and John Thune will go ahead and steal it. They'll just go ahead and spend it. They don't want to tell him. They're keeping it on the down low, which is how you have to act now. You have to keep the money away from the Democrats who will steal it and the Republicans who will spend it. The good news is, as well, after all the screaming and yelling on Twitter, people were just, they were hurt. They were heartbroken after everything Elon Musk gave for this country to watch him walk out in frustration like this. And that is propelling the first rescission bill forward. That's good news. A lot of good news today, too. I'll tell you about it coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It wasn't all bad with Elon Musk's exit from the government. He tweets, as my scheduled time as a special government employee comes to an end, I want to thank President Trump for the opportunity to reduce wasteful spending. The DOGE mission will only strengthen over time as it becomes a way of life throughout the government. Well, after Musk politely blistered the Republicans, and they needed it. They needed it badly. All of a sudden, we're getting, I've been talking about these for a while, the first rescission bill. And this is a test. And Axios reports that this morning. This is a test. This is a test to see if Republicans really want to cut Democrat things. Like NPR and PBS. It's a $9 billion bill. NPR, PBS, and the ridiculous parts of the USAID spending. Let's see if Lindsey Graham and Tim Scott and people like that want to continue funding the Taliban after they killed thousands of us. Let's see. I don't know which way they'll go. I really don't. That's how crazy this country is. Now, the original deal, and this is so ridiculous what happened yesterday. The original deal, according to Axios, was that the Republican leaders of Congress told Trump, don't send these rescission bills. In other words, defunding bills, cuts to DOGE, to Congress till we finish the big, beautiful bill. But yesterday, after they got called on the carpet by Elon Musk, they were like, oh, it's Trump's fault. He hasn't sent the rescission bill. Bull. You told him not to. What a crock. And so Mike Johnson's doing what he always does, promise to do something when he gets called on the carpet by people at Twitter who want to burn the whole thing down because they're tired of waiting. People on X, they're tired of waiting on the Republicans. So the first bill is going to come. It's $9 billion and it's a test. Now, folks, back in March, Congress had a chance to codify the DOGE cuts. They did. Rand Paul put a bill forward to do it. Guess who voted against it? Lindsey Graham and Tim Scott voted no, along with 24 other Republicans for a total of 26. Like, Lindsey Graham's got a primary coming up. You want to run on that, honey? We're hearing rumors that Tim Scott wants to run for governor. In fact, I know he does. I just don't know if he's going to throw his hat in the ring. You want to run for that? You want to run on that, honey? You want to? Because I'm going to remind half the state of it every day. We can do this the hard way or we can do this the easy way. And I know Charlie and Bill will too. It's not hard. It's not hard. This stuff USAID was funding was awful. Let's cut it. It's about $8.3 billion worth of trash. Now, look, that is a drop in the bucket, but they are said to be 12 more bills behind it. I don't know, with cuts. Stop playing stupid games. Stop thinking you're cute. We're not stupid. We see what you do now. We have X. So it ain't 1994. We see what you do. We're going to let people know what you do. So if you're Tim Scott, Lindsey Graham, and when I call them out, and when we call them out, they hear about it. Don't think you're going to fool this state. Not the half of it we cover. We go all the way to Columbia now. You know, we expanded the station reach. So Lindsey Graham, you want to run into primary on opposing Doge cuts for the second time? You go ahead and do it. We'll remind everybody every day. Or you can do the right thing and do what you promised us. And by the way, Lindsey Graham, when you look at Lindsey Graham in particular, and Tim Scott's done some of this, but Lindsey Graham's the worst. He'll go on television. He'll go on Fox News. Oh, he just loves Elon, man. He just loves Doge, loves Elon, votes against everything they do back in March. But, you know, loves him, really. That's Lindsey Graham. Well, you know what? This is not going to cut it anymore. The days when you can get away with that and people wouldn't know, those are over. Everybody's going to know if you don't vote for this next week. So this is a test. So hopefully it turns out okay. Hopefully they vote for it. Okay. Meanwhile, coming up on the show, President Trump has driven the left so insane. They made a major admission yesterday. It was huge. Wait to hear what it was, because this could turn a lot of things around, especially for women. Coming up on the show. How do we end up where we are? Never forget when Republican Speaker Paul Ryan declared we would stop fighting the culture wars. We would simply surrender and give up. Let the Democrats do what they wanted. We would focus on fiscal sanity. You see how that's going. Ultimately, we end up focusing on nothing. Trump said, nah, you know what? We can win. We can. In fact, these will be winning issues for us. We shouldn't abandon them. Unfortunately, during the time when we did, we ended up with such ridiculousness as the left, screaming banshees that they are, demanding that if a man identifies as a woman, we all play along with his delusion rather than getting him help. And that has led to absurdities like this. A.B. Hernandez, 17-year-old junior at Juropa Valley High School in Ontario, California. As a male track competitor for many years, he wasn't anything special. Have you ever noticed it's never the guys who are really good at stuff, at sports, who transition? Have you ever noticed that? It's never the ones who are like, yeah, in my own right, I could totally win this track meet. Nope, it's always the ones that suck. In February, as a girl, he won the girls' triple jump event by 8 feet, more than any other competitor. Took first place at the meet in the high jump, too, and the long jump events, nearly 3 feet ahead of the triple jump runner-up and 2 feet ahead of the second place long jump competitor. Oh, it's a miracle. Now, the left would tell you, you cannot consider at all if there are any physical differences because that is prejudice. That is bias. And Trump said, fine, live in your world of delusion. I will federally defund you. I'm not funding your schools. Not doing it. Trump outraged after finding out that this individual competed at all after his executive order. Now, we've all heard this story before, right? But this version of it has another twist. Has a new twist we've not seen before, and it could be the downfall of this whole thing. Because for the first time, because Trump drove them so insane, the left has made a major admission. They offered Trump a compromise. Okay, the first 6 competitors get to go to state. They're supposed to compete this upcoming week, by the way, for the state championship. The first 6 competitors in this particular competition, get to compete at states for the state title. And they said, well, but the California Athletic Association, it's called CIF, says, okay, okay, okay. If a biologically female woman, they call that cisgender, whatever that is. If a biologically female person is displaced by a biologically male person, we'll make an exception and we'll take the top seven instead of the top six. There you go. And they made that offer and then said, Trump, please don't defund us. Okay. Well, immediately, number seven began complaining, and she should. She says, it's not good enough. He's still going to win state because he's a dude. But the reason this is so significant is this is the first admission by the left that men and women are not only different, but that being male, biologically male, even if you have transitioned, which this person allegedly has, gives you a tremendous advantage. And so they're now admitting, okay, we do have to give the women in sports some affirmative action. We're going, she's not going to be allowed to win. That would be a step too far. But she's going to be allowed to compete. Folks, I feel like the left has just embraced misogyny. Think about what this is saying to the woman. Well, you can compete if the male lets you. You're going to need affirmative action in your own sports. But you don't get to win unless the male says you can. If the male says it's okay with him and he decides not to compete, well, then you can have first place. Otherwise, it's going to the man. That's where we are. But here's the great part. This is an admission because they want the money by the left. This is a tacit admission. Men have an advantage. Good. Trump wrote in his Truth Social post, which was epic, as a male, he was less than an average competitor. As a female, this transitioned person is practically unbeatable. This is not fair and totally demeaning to women and girls. Please, he's writing the state of California, please be hereby advised that large-scale federal funding will be held back, maybe permanently, if the executive order on this subject is not adhered to. The governor himself has said it was unfair. I will speak to him today to find out which way he wants to go. ? In other words, if this dude competes this upcoming week in the state track meet, federal funding goes away. They're going to have to fight to try to get it back. This is how you fight. It's not hard. It's not hard. You have to want to do it, though. And the Republicans in Congress do not. They have lost their will to do anything, really, quite frankly. Meanwhile, overnight, this is fantastic news. Chinese student visas going where they belong, down the toilet. That's not a knock on Chinese people. They're slaves. And the problem you have if you're a student who comes here is this. If you're smart in science, if you're smart in math, if you are part of innovations, if you later find yourself working at a highly innovative American company and everyone you love still back in China, they tell you, because it is law there, you have to commit crimes here, industrial scale espionage. You've got to send the intellectual data back or your family and friends get hurt. People you love get hurt. Democrats would like to pretend this is all very normal. They'd probably love to run America that way. Trump and Ruby are saying, no, no more. Do you realize there are over 260,000 students here in America on Chinese visas? They're Chinese students on visas. They're saying they're going to prioritize anybody working in science and tech fields or studying in science and tech fields out the door. You go, folks, how long before Democrats sue this morning to keep our worst enemy on earth, China, stealing our stuff? How many of them have the payroll deal that Hunter Biden had, $30 million? We only know about Hunter, folks, because of the laptop. We only know about Hunter because he photographed his sexual escapades. That's the only reason we know. Who else has the deal? Folks, do you realize there's only 469 American students allowed to study in China, but over 280,000 Chinese students in the U.S. right now on visas? Are we just stupid? Yeah, don't answer that question. Anyway, folks, wait for it. Democrats going to sue. They're going to sue to help China. You wait. The only question is, will it be by close of business today or is it going to take them until tomorrow? anything to hurt America, but that's okay. Trump's going to win. You know what we have to do with this stuff, folks? We have to so normalize this, they can't reverse it if they ever get power again. But every day in this country, no matter how frustrating it is, sometimes it gets better and better and better and better. With the AI revolution that we are on the brink of, that's going to be coming the next couple of years, we have got to get these people out of our businesses and out of our country. Warning, producer Tim, I want to know what you think about this. We've been hearing this on and off for a few years now.
Okay.
Do you believe this? Okay. Warning from the CEO of a major AI, major tech company.
Okay.
That AI could spark a bloodbath for white-collar jobs, including wiping out half of all entry-level white-collar jobs. And listen to this. In the next 1 to 5 years, sending unemployment as high as 20%. That's according to the CEO of Anthropic, Dario Amodel. And of course, the story went viral. And he's warning that executives and politicians should stop sugarcoating the mass layoffs that are coming, and that could occur in fields like tech, finance, and law, and be honest with workers about the extent of the threat. What do you think? Does this happen?
Yeah. I kind of agree with that. But then again, I don't know. I kind of taken the stance that, you know, AI is kind of here to stay. There's nothing we can do about it. So we might as well learn to live with it. But yeah. I do think that the future is going to knock out a lot of entry level jobs. Yeah, 100%.
Here's what I wonder, right? All this AI. And one of the things we're told is that it's going to start to affect like engineering jobs, entry level engineering, people who write code, architects, accountants. Any kind of writer, whether you're a copywriter, anything like that, advertising is all going to be hit hard by the rise of AI.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You can write video games with that thing. You can like all kinds of. It's not just engineering. Like all kinds of jobs. Like it's you can pretty much anything that you could put on a document, you can definitely do with AI. So like if that's writing code, because that's all a computer is just a bunch of coding.
Zuckerberg's, of Meta has issued a similar warning when he was on Joe Rogan earlier this year. Zuckerberg said, probably in 2025, we at Meta, as well as all the other companies that are basically working on this, are going to have an AI that can effectively be a sort of mid-level engineer that you have at your company that can write code.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I believe it. 100%.
You know what I wonder, though? Just given, like, you're in my daily reality, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we have a complicated setup for the show. It spans two rooms.
Yes.
Right? And probably, let's see what, like, probably 10 computers?
Actually, three if you include the news booth.
Yeah, you're right. Three rooms, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as the audience knows, there's almost never a day without technical difficulties, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And we have a staff of two engineers. And honestly, I'd argue it's not enough. We should have one staff full time in this show. I've been arguing that for years. We don't. And that's why we have the technical difficulties that we do. And I just see that and I'm like, oh, AI is going to run everything. Really? And the computers won't break down, huh? The system won't break down. There won't be any technical help we needed. I'm almost wondering if the jobs of the future, the quote unquote white collar jobs or just skilled labor jobs, are going to be us going to Greenville Tech and learning how to keep these computers and semiconductors up and running, given the computing power we're going to need.
Right. And I've said that before where, like, you know, you still need somebody to operate the AI. Like,
that's
you need somebody
I'm
that knows how to maneuver around it and to use it to the company's or your advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. It seems like this has got to create tech jobs, especially in, you know, people are saying, oh, manufacturing, there's not going to be as many, you know, people needed for manufacturing. I don't believe that. I do not believe it at all, because you're talking about a whole line of interacting computers, systems, and mechanics, and it's all going to somehow run without breaking down. Please. I mean, yeah, here's the thing. I can't get through my week without ending up either on the phone with my 15-year-old or having him come and fix my computer in some way. He's the one. He is my IT. He's my tech department. He's, Mom, this is not hard. I'm like, yes, it is. How can you look at that and know what to do? And he's like, how can you look at it and not know? But he's really good at that stuff. So I don't know. I mean, it takes my husband and my 15-year-old to keep me up and running at home. And to be honest, my husband's still my husband's still occupied right now, so he's probably not listening. I always call my 15-year-old first. It's bad, but I do. Yeah. So I keep thinking there's going to have to be the keep it up and running job. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being hopeful. But that is shocking. Sun unemployment to 20%. Bloodbath for white-collar jobs. But the good thing, Producer Tim, he's also forecasting cancer is cured. The economy grows at 10% a year. The budget is balanced. But 20% of people don't have jobs. So,
at least cancer is cured.
Yeah. I've heard that one before, though, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.